Here's the title: A Tale of Two Donkeys. A Tale of Two Donkeys. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you that we can be here and celebrate you today with joy in our hearts. Thank you that we can rest assured of the work that you've done for us. And now, Lord, in the next few moments, I pray that you'd help us to get out of your word what you put into it for us today. Lord, not that we would simply hear the word, but that we would be doers of the word and be transformed. So we commit this time into your hands, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So all four Gospels mention Jesus riding on a donkey. And what's the point, besides the fact that it had been prophesied? You realize that was one thing that had been prophesied, and Matthew points it out. It had been prophesied in Zechariah that their Messiah would come riding on a donkey. Let's go. I'm just going to go to Mark chapter 11 and read that one. It's got most of the points that I want to hit. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back shortly." Verse 4, they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna," which means salvation or save. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of interesting things. One of the things that always catches my attention about this account is how excited the people were. You notice, I mean, in I don't remember which other gospel, but in one of the gospels, I think it might be Matthew, the children are running around and singing Hosanna and yelling Hosanna, and the Pharisees, they get all upset and they tell Jesus, "Why, do you hear what's going on? Tell them to be quiet." And Jesus said, "Look, if they don't celebrate, if they don't worship, the rocks are going to cry out." Kind of gives a little bit different picture than what we often see. Now, I think we need to have order in church, and we need to teach kids to be orderly and respectful and whatnot. But you know what? Kids are kids too. And Jesus didn't seem too bothered by kids running around. I was just driving up north yesterday, and I had this thought in my head. One of the things that we tell kids often, go play. Go play. We tell kids, go play. But then sometimes when they do it, we tell them, knock it off or quiet down. How confusing is that? But go play. Why do we tell kids, go play? Because playing is good. It's good for the kids. It's good for their imagination. It's good for their energy level. It helps get their energy out so they sleep good, so they, you know, stop harassing you so much maybe. But it really is good for the whole system. And here's the thing that really struck me. Jesus told us that we need to approach him like children. How many of you know you need to go play sometimes? You need to stop worrying about what other people think so much and maybe just go play. Go get your hands dirty. Go fall down and get your jeans dirty. Get some grass stains on you. Do something but play. But these kids are running around and the religious elite, they get all upset. And we focus on that sometimes. We focus on Jesus clearing the temple. But something else that's in all four Gospels is these donkeys. What is it about the donkeys? And that's what I'm going to speak to this morning. First thing that you need to know is that Jesus knew where the donkey was. and sent others to get it. Now think about that for a minute. It says Jesus was approaching Jerusalem. He had gotten as far as Bethphage or Bethany, it's a few miles out. And he stops and he turns. We don't know which disciples it was, and it doesn't matter, but he turns to a couple of his disciples. He said, I want you to go into town, and you're going to find a donkey tied there. And some accounts talks about two donkeys, a mother and its foal. He knows where the donkey was. Now, don't be offended too much, but understand this. Jesus knows where you are. And he knows where the lost and the hurting are. And just as he sent disciples to find that hurting one, he sent somebody to find you. And he, in turn, is sending you to find somebody else. And he knows where they are. Jesus is really good at this. Remember when he called Peter to be a disciple, he said, look, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. This was right after he had told Peter where to cast his net. And I find it, there's a couple of times Jesus told Peter, cast your net, told the disciples. Okay, here is a carpenter, an itinerant preacher who happens to walk on water, telling seasoned fishermen where to fish. And I think maybe I've got a strange sense of humor, but it makes me laugh in the accounts when he says, no, cast your nets on the right side instead of the wrong side. Cast your nets on the right side. Church, sometimes I think we'd be a little more effective if we were casting the net on the right side. We think we know what we're doing. We've been seasoned. We've been schooled. We've been taught. We've been brought up. We know how to quote scripture, and we can take people through the Romans road. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side. Jesus knows where the fish are. Jesus is good at catching fish, whether with a net or with a line. You know, he sent Peter another time he said, cast your line in the water and take the first fish you catch, and it's going to have enough money in it to pay the tax, the temple tax that people were arguing with him about. Jesus knows where the fish are. He knew where the donkey was. He knew where you were. And he knows where those are that he's sending you to reach. He knows. And he's sending you to reach them, to go get them and bring them back. What an honor to be part of that. Amen? There's a story told in Scripture in the book of John where Jesus dealt with a Samaritan woman. You may be familiar with the story. He'd sent his disciples off to get some food. It was the heat of the day, and he went over to a well, and this woman came, and she was getting water in the heat of the day, and he asked her for a drink of water, and the conversation ensues, she said, well, how can you ask me for a drink? You're a Jew, and I'm a woman. I'm a Samaritan woman. And he tells her finally to go back and get her husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And I love how Jesus dealt with her. He says, you're absolutely right. You're telling the truth. The truth is you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You're telling the truth. Now, you and I probably have a tendency to focus on the fact that she'd had five husbands, and she shacked up with somebody else now. But I want you to know, Jesus didn't focus on that. He didn't deny that truth, but he focused on the fact she was being honest. Maybe more honest than what she realized, she was being honest, and Jesus focused on that and sent her away. But all of that to say, when the disciples came back and they're standing there, Jesus turns to his disciples, and he says, don't they say 3 months or 5 months or whatever until the harvest? He says, I'm telling you, the harvest is here. Open your eyes and look at the fields. The harvest is ready. And where was he saying that? He was saying that right outside a Samaritan village. Why is that important? Because those were people that the Jews did not like. Those were people that his own disciples did not like. And Jesus was saying, if you'd open your eyes, you'd see where the harvest is. How about if you go where I send you? How about if you cast your net on the right side? How about if you stop telling me who you need to reach, and listen to me about who I'm sending you to. So point number one, Jesus knew where the donkeys were. He knows where the harvest is. Let's listen. Number two, interesting fun fact, the donkey didn't belong to Jesus. But it was released when he sent for it. The donkey did not belong to Jesus, but it was released when he sent for it. Before coming to Christ, understand you belong to somebody else. We don't like to think about it an awful lot. It's not real popular. It doesn't give you warm fuzzies, but the fact of the matter is you either serve Jesus Christ or you serve Satan. There is no in between. You either belong to the Lord or you belong to the devil. The donkey didn't belong to Jesus, but when he sent for the donkey, the owner let it go. And Matthew and Luke and Mark, they all point out that somebody did. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he says, look, go find this donkey, untie it, and bring it to me. If anybody asks you about it, just tell them I need it. And they'll let it go. And they did. And you need to know, I mean, in that culture, in that time, a donkey was much more than just a pack animal. It was a mode of transportation. It was a tool for farming. It was a tool for shopping. It was a tool for getting things from one place to another. This is a valuable item. And Jesus sent the disciples to go and get something that didn't belong to him. Now, he's not stealing, because that would be wrong. That's why Jesus said, look, if they give you any guff, if they try to stop you, just tell them the Lord needs it, and they'll let you go. We can get really uncomfortable sometimes when we talk to people. We can be really nervous or whatever. Oh, boy, I don't know if they're going to believe me. I don't know if they're going to trust me. I don't know if they're going to ask me questions that I don't. It doesn't matter. The Lord's sending you don't do your witnessing at church. I mean, share what the Lord's doing, absolutely. But if you're doing your witnessing at church, you're kind of missing the mark. It's preaching to the choir. There's people around you that you work with or that you live near or that are part of your family that are far from the Lord. Those are the ones that he's sending you to. And oftentimes, some that are going to make you nervous. I can only imagine how nervous those disciples had to be. I can only imagine the conversation. Why is he sending us to get a donkey that doesn't belong to him? If he wanted a donkey, why didn't he buy a donkey? We got enough in the funds. We could have bought a donkey. We could have brought a donkey with us. Why did he pick us? Why didn't he pick the other guys? I hate doing this kind of stuff. He's always asking us to do so. He's always putting us outside the box. He's always making, why does he do this? They're going to kill us. They're going to arrest us. We're going to miss dinner. I'm sure that came up. Well, I don't know, maybe the others, well, you know, he's never steered us wrong before. Let's just go, let's just get it over with. So they find there's the donkeys. He was right about that. They're donkeys. They're tied up. Anybody looking? Maybe we just untie them and skedaddle. Nope, somebody caught him. Oh, what did he say to, what is it? Yeah, Jesus needs him. The Lord needs him. Said to tell you if you ask, he needs them. Oh, okay. Wow, that was easy. that was a lot easier than I thought it would be. Listen to what James says, chapter 4, verse 7 of the book of James. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, the devil's big and ugly, but he's not nearly as powerful as Jesus. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't need to be afraid. We need to be faithful. We don't need to be scared. We need to be submissive. We need to trust. We need to go where he asks us to go and do what he asks us to do. In Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said this, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Jesus also said in another place, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. He knows he's sending you on a scary mission, but he's promised to be with you. And understand this, the one who holds them captive has no authority to keep them when Jesus calls them. Jesus didn't own the donkey, but they were released to him when he asked for them. That's number two. And number three, I think this is my favorite. The donkey was rough. The donkey had no formal training. It tells us in Mark, tells us in Matthew, it had never been ridden before. Now, I'm not much of a, in fact, I'm not at all a horseman. I don't even know if that's the right term. I have sat on horses. I have ridden horses. I even, be prepared to be impressed, I have ridden a horse bareback. Isn't that right, Forrest and Diana? I don't know how old and mellow the horse was, but it was alive. And it was a lot bigger than me. But I have never ridden a greenbroke horse. That's a horse that's been broke to a bridle or broke to a saddle or something, but not fully broke. Am I getting my terms right? Okay. And I've never ridden a horse that has never been ridden. I've watched cowboys try that. I've watched rodeo guys try that. And there is a strange part of me, at least when I was younger, that thought, that'd be kind of fun to try once. Those things are a lot bigger when you get close to them. See, some of these animals, they don't just readily submit to a saddle. They don't readily submit to a person climbing on their back. The term is break. You gotta break them. And Jesus sent these disciples to get an unbroken donkey. Now, a donkey's not as big as a horse, but still, they can do damage. I've had one step on my ankle. I didn't enjoy that too much. I don't really know how I ended up off of it and on the ground, but then it stepped on me. I have sort of forgiven it for that. I don't know if you really have to forgive animals. I'm not sure that's a thing. But Jesus sent for a donkey, and he told the disciples, he said, look, this donkey has never been ridden. I want you to go and get one that's never been ridden. Now, picture it. The disciples, they've done the hard part. They've walked to the town. They found the donkey. They untied the donkey. They told the owner, hey, the Lord needs it. Their hard part is over. And now as they're walking back, I can imagine the conversation. Is Jesus going to ride this thing? It's never been ridden. I hope he doesn't expect me to ride this thing. I'm not riding a donkey that's never been ridden. Jesus is actually going to get on a donkey that's never been ridden, and he's going to ride this thing into town. If I'm going to get on an animal that's never been ridden, I'm going to ride away from town. I'm going to ride away from where there's people and there's, you know, they got their cameras up and posting it on Facebook and stuff. I don't need that kind of fame. Is Jesus really going to do it? Maybe he'll make Peter do it. That'd be kind of fun. I'd like to see Peter get on this thing. But they bring it back and they throw their coats over it, and Jesus climbs up on it. No kicking, no fussing, no bucking, no nothing. And he rides the donkey into town. And here's my point. That donkey had no formal training, but the Lord sent for that donkey. That donkey was rough as they come, but that's the one that Jesus was looking for. Jesus knew it was there. Jesus sent others to get it, and he wanted to use that rough, unbroken donkey to fulfill prophetic history, to ride into Jerusalem among the crowds. Here's the point. Too often we throw up the excuse of, I don't know. I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a good enough speaker. Remember Moses? I'm not a good talker. I don't do that. I don't memorize addresses in Scripture very well. I'm not very good at that. Jesus was willing to ride on an unbroken donkey. You think he can't use you? Jesus loves taking the rough and knocking the edges off bit by bit. Jesus loves taking those that nobody else expects to be able to do much of anything, that we ourselves, we don't expect that we can do much of anything, because we focus so much on our failures and we focus so much on our shortcomings and we focus so much on how badly we need forgiveness, on how badly we need somebody to tell us the way to go, on how badly we need to get it right. We know how bad we got it wrong. And Jesus said, you know, I want to use you. You look kind of rough. I want to use you. You don't seem to know much. I want to use you. You don't seem to have it all together. That's perfect. Amos was a prophet in the Bible. There's a book, bears his name. Prophet. God called him to speak to the people in a very difficult time in their history. And listen to what it says. Amos chapter 7. This is Amos' own account of himself. He said, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd and I took care of sycamore fig trees. He said, I didn't grow up to be a prophet. I didn't have my eyes on prophesying. In fact, my father wasn't a prophet. It's not like it was handed down to me. I have no experience with prophecy. I was a farmer. I took care of sheep. I just walked after sheep. And I took care of trees. Trees don't go anywhere. That's the condition Amos was in when the Lord called him. But he continues, but the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people. Here's the point. Your excuses don't add up to anything. Now, if God can make a donkey speak to Balaam in the Old Testament, and Jesus knows where an unbroken donkey that doesn't belong to him is waiting to be used for his glory, and he's willing to use a rough animal like that, how much more is he willing to use you? How much more is he able to use you and to use me if we just lay down our excuses and just trust him to know where he wants us to go? And then we actually go. You see, the other powerful thing there was the disciples that actually went. They didn't think they were doing anything special. Just walking. Just obeying. Church, our act of faith and obedience doesn't always look phenomenal and super spiritual and like people are going to write books about it. But it doesn't really matter if people write books about it, because you know what? The Lord's got a book. He's keeping track. And if Jesus was willing to record the fact that two disciples walked a few miles to get a donkey that didn't belong to them to bring it back to him, and he thought that was good enough to be recorded in Scripture, even though he didn't even record their name, it was good enough to be recorded in Scripture to teach you and me, then your little act of faith and my little act of faith and that little act of obedience means something big to him. So as we head on into this Passion Week and we move towards Easter and the celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and we're going to have Easter egg hunt on Wednesday to reach out to our community, and we're going to do different things. You're going to have opportunities this week, church, to minister. You're going to have opportunities this week to share your faith with somebody. And it doesn't have to be a drawn out point by point deal. It's just, you know what a witness does? They just testify to what they've seen and what they've done or what the Lord has done. And so I'm going to encourage you this week, look for the opportunities. This week, yeah. Oh, yeah. Invite people to church. They're probably more willing to go on Easter and Christmas than any other days of the year. Invite them to come to church. But even more than that, would you just invite them to be part of your life? Just let them be part of your life so you can share the love that Jesus, you can build some relationship with them so you can share Jesus with them. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be about filling the pews. It's about filling heaven. Amen? I can get our worship team to come up. Got a couple more songs, I believe. Anybody surprised at how quick this was? We had communion. We had a message. It's not even 12 o'clock. It's a long time. Boy, you're going to have a lot of extra time to eat today. Don't forget to show up for the meeting. We got our Easter egg hunt. We need all hands on deck. As the worship team comes, would you stand with me? I think there's two questions that we need to consider this morning. And both of them pertain to where we fit in this story. Do you identify with the donkey? Nothing to be ashamed of. Do you identify with the disciples? The donkey, I'm not talking about just a four-legged animal. I'm just talking about an animal that's never been broken and it's rough and it's never been used before, but there's an opportunity for it to be used. If that's you, would you today say, yes, Lord, I'll be used. I'll give up the excuses about what I don't know. I'll give up the excuses about the lack of training and understanding, and I'll just step out. I think sometimes we wait too long because we're afraid of what we don't know. Or maybe today you more recognize yourself in those disciples that were asked to go and do something kind of awkward. Or maybe the Lord has asked you to do something awkward and you've been kind of putting it off. Let me encourage you this morning. Don't put it off any longer. Pick up the phone, knock on that door, send that text, drop by, see that person. Understand this. Jesus knows where they are and he knows who he's sending to minister to them. You're not responsible for their response. You're just responsible for your obedience. Lord, this morning as we stand before you, we commit ourselves. Lord, those of us that are here that would say, I feel like those disciples going to do something I don't really want to do, something I don't really understand, something that takes me out of my comfort zone. But Lord, I'm done with the excuses. I'm going to trust that you know to whom you're sending me. You know what you're doing. And Lord, that when we walk in faith and confidence, we walk in victory. If that's you, church, you just, in your heart, say amen. That's me, Lord. I want to walk in that obedience. But Lord, for those of us that maybe identify more with the donkey, we're rough. We really don't know anything. We've been under somebody else's control and somebody else's influence, and we've never been tried and tested before. And others would overlook us. But Lord, we want to be used of you. We want to submit and let you wear the rough edges off. We invite you to do that, Lord. If that's you, you just tell the Lord, yes, that's me, Lord. Lord, we just commit the remainder of this service. Lord, we're going to open the altars and allow people to come forward and pray and worship. Lord, we're going to sing some songs. We want you to be honored by them. Lord, we want these songs to rise up like a sweet sacrifice, an aroma pleasing to you. We want to put a smile on your face. So, Lord, receive it. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Church, these altars are open. I encourage you, if you want to just get away with the Lord, come up here, get the distractions behind you. If you need somebody to pray with you, want somebody to pray with you, we're here. We're happy to pray with you. If you made a decision for the Lord this morning, don't keep that a secret. Let somebody know. I'm that donkey that God's going to use.